Hello.
Hello.
And welcome to Lopes on Movies. My name is Joey Lopes, and today I am joined by Connor.
Good morning.
And for the first time in a while, actually, we haven't had a third host in like weeks.
Oh, geez.
For whatever reason. Welcome, Mark, to the
Hi.
Show. Welcome back.
Hello again. I'm back.
It's great to have you.
It's good to be back.
So how we doing? How we doing today, guys? I mean, it's, you know, the weather is starting to get nice finally. You know, it was like 75 degrees out. I was out walking, feeling great. You know, it's finally spring. Last week was cold. Ooh, you had a cookout.
Yeah, it's not bad.
And the Mets and Yankees are in first place.
Oh,
let's go.
That's true. It's all about the Mets, baby. Yeah.
Love the Mets.
Love the Mets. Let's go, Mets. I don't know if our Delaware-based audience.
Go Phillies.
Yeah, I don't think our Delaware-based audience is going to be.
They're not going to appreciate
too
that
excited
one.
About that. It was a good series. You know, the Phillies took one game, right? So it was fun.
Yeah, I mean, they got no hit in the other. And
yeah, they did get no hit, but it was a combined no hitter. It wasn't a real no hit.
Okay.
Oh man, no, I love these baseball bits. I love that I'm watching baseball again. You know, just randomly decided this was the year I was going to start watching.
Oh,
baseball.
Oh, how convenient for you to start watching baseball when the team is good and like
after like literally
not
like 15
fair weather.
Years.
Just happened to
no,
coincidentally.
I don't care if the Mets are good or bad. I just decided this year I
when they were
to
good.
Let me tell you something. Yeah. There is nothing worse than watching a bad baseball team day after day.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure. Yeah. I mean, maybe that's why I fell off after like that, you know, 2006 season. That was like the last I remember the Mets team.
Well, the next 2 years were they were good teams, but all right, so there's our Phillies tie-in. The Phillies did, you know, that totally scarred me for the rest of my life. I'd be a different person if the Phillies didn't come back on the Mets in 2007, 2008 during my formative years.
It's very good movie stuff, though. Yeah.
Well, baseball is a very good topic for movies. You know, I feel like baseball tends to film very well.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Field of Dreams.
Personally, I think football films better.
Completely incorrect. I could not disagree more.
Maybe it's baseball has better movies, but football's more naturally cinematic in the regular games.
I'm not going to argue that point. I'm not confident in it, but I also don't think that it's inherently wrong.
You ever watch those NFL films documentaries? Those things are awesome. They can just cut them from regular game footage.
That's true. No, you're right. But I do think, like, out of all of the sports, it's baseball and football to me are the most inherently cinematic.
I think so.
In the way that they're presented.
Boxing? Boxing in and of itself. It's very good for sports movies. It's not in itself very naturally, like, moment-to-moment cinematic. Mm.
Yeah. I think I agree with that. But, you know, nevertheless, we're here to talk about movies, and maybe we should get a little bit more on topic. I mean, we have one movie that we're going to be talking about, a movie that we went to theaters to see, a mm-hmm. movie that apparently kind of bombed at the box office, allegedly, but I don't know that it's, like, really that bad. So I'll get to this because there's actually some like interesting discourse surrounding some of this. So we're talking about The Northman or The Northman. It's one word, you know, whatever, however you want to. The North guy, the man of the North. It's the new Robert Eggers joint, you know, and Robert Eggers is that I guess still sort of up and coming filmmaker. He made The Witch, you know, however many years ago that was, and then The Lighthouse. So he's the A24 guy.
Yep.
But he has his own very distinct style that he's kind of honing through those movies, and definitely this was one that I think all of us were sort of looking forward to because we've liked his previous movies. Actually, I've only seen The Lighthouse. I never even saw The Witch, but everybody seems to like The Witch a lot.
I've seen The Witch. That one was good. I haven't seen The Lighthouse. I'm the only person who's got that.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
Somehow.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I would have expected you to have seen The Lighthouse.
I've had opportunities. I just never got around to it.
I think you would really like The Lighthouse.
I bet so.
I think you would like.
I think The Lighthouse was my favorite movie of 2019. Is that right?
Whenever it was, I don't remember. A couple years ago.
I still pick Uncut Gems, but I bet it was good.
It was up there with Uncut. Yeah, yeah, I think that was that year.
Pretty good year.
Good year.
But the point is, so this movie comes out. It's it doesn't do great at the box office relative to its budget, which was its budget was like 90 million. I think the last I looked, it was like it made like 40, 50 million at the box office or something. And I think in Variety they ran some piece about like, see this, you know, this proves you can't make, you know, movies, you can't make art house movies with a big budget. You know, you just can't do it. It's not okay. Can't do that. That's bad. And everybody got really bent out of shape because that's just like, don't say that. You know, that's like a kiss of death. You know, the only things we'll ever get for the rest of our lives are intellectual property movies if you keep hammering that home. I mean, there's a million reasons why a movie does or doesn't perform. And the thing that's so funny to me too is that that movie Everything Everywhere All at Once has been performing extremely well relative to his budget, of course, but also just like the word of mouth, and like people are just continually going to see it because it's been building up in like its reputation over the past like however many years. Mm-hmm. But the takeaway that it seems like the Hollywood types are getting is that audiences love multiverses.
Yeah,
it's like no, yep. that's not why. Like, why are you? They always hone in on the worst things about why a movie is a successful movie. Like,
it's
no,
because
no.
Joey, the thing that's easy to copy is obviously the thing that caused the movie to be successful.
Yeah, exactly. But like, it's just so depressing, you know. When you have like these successful, like a successful independent movie, and the takeaway is like the worst possible takeaway.
The takeaway is we need to put this person on a comic book movie.
Yeah,
now.
Exactly. And there's like they even like speculated about that too. It's like, you know, maybe after the Northman, Robert Eggers might be interested in working on an intellectual property. It's like.
Yeah, like that's the next.
You
that's
don't understand
the next
anything.
Step. Yeah, like.
Yeah, geez. Like you're no.
That's what everybody's end goal is.
Yeah,
the top of the mountain. Well,
it certainly
IP
seems
movies.
Like a lot of filmmakers, their end goal is to like maybe not initially, but they're tempted by the devil, you know, to jump into the intellectual property world and make a superhero movie or make a. You know,
it makes a sequel
to Ghostbusters.
So bad if they could easily get out of it afterwards and make if there actually was a two for you, one for me kind of thing. But
yeah,
nobody
yeah.
does that.
It doesn't happen, right? Like, no. It's like everybody always says, like, that's what's going to happen, but it never happens.
Yeah,
it's one for you, two for you, three for you, and then for the rest of your career, you're just
you're
a company
comic
man.
Book movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're bankrolling your own stuff. That's what it'll come down to. It's just like it's like David Lynch when he was like, you know, we brought up before when he was asked to do the Return of the Jedi. You know, some people make stuff and it makes them hundreds of billions of dollars or whatever he said. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He said like some ridiculous number.
Yeah, but, it was like me.
And it made my head
he's like,
hurt
I respect
so
George.
Bad.
Yeah,
when I saw the Wookiees.
Yeah, exactly.
I saw something called a Wookiee.
I think he said something like, you know, it's what me and George are similar in that we both make movies about what we love. It's just the things that he loves make millions and millions of dollars.
Yep.
But he doesn't seem too bent out of shape about it.
Nah.
David Lynch is happy to be making what he's making.
Yeah, of course. Yes,
doing
what he's of course.
Doing. But anyway, let's talk about The Northman. I think that the doom and gloom is probably way overstated. I think the movie will probably end up doing fairly well in the end and probably will have more of a audience later on after theaters. Because I think it's just we're still in that weird time for theaters where people are not going unless there's like some extreme like buzz forcing them to get out of their house, right? Like this movie was never going to be that. It was never going to be able to get people back to a theater, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't think it's the movie's fault for that necessarily. So the Northman. Connor, do you want to give us a little synopsis and info on the Northman?
Sure. Okay. It was directed by Robert Eggers. It's just his third film. You know, you said he's got that style that he's building. So this is a Viking revenge epic. That's pretty much what it is, right? So I guess the story is about a a young Viking prince who's on a quest to avenge his father's murder by his uncle. And mm-hmm. his uncle, he also wants to rescue his mother, who was captured by his uncle and forced to marry his uncle. So he's on this, you know, he's on this revenge quest, and he meets up with Anya Taylor-Joy at some point, who's like this mage kind of person, or witch, I guess. She's, you know, she's a little young mm-hmm. for playing witches in Hollywood, but, you know, she's already done it twice now, I guess.
Well, I guess that's true.
But I, yeah, that's kind of what happens.
Who's in it?
Yeah, so it stars Alexander Skarsgård, and I mentioned Anya Taylor-Joy, and mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Ethan Hawke, who plays his father in the movie, and also mm-hmm. Nicole Kidman, who plays his mother. Kind of a surprising role for her, I don't think I would normally see her in something like this.
Sure.
So, Mark, what did you think of The Northman? You saw this before us because you thought that we were going to do this last week, but Joey was not available, so we did not do a show last week.
We did not.
I did like it. I couldn't get that thought out of my head where I remember seeing before this movie that Eggers said he didn't get final cut on it or something.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a strange movie. It's like, you can definitely see his fingerprints all over it, despite not having that. But there are moments where it's definitely deviated from his style, and I'm really curious what his original vision was and how much it differed, and if it would have actually changed anything about it mm-hmm. on the large scale. That said, as it is, it's a very stylish action revenge movie. I wouldn't necessarily call it action-packed, but it's very good, very tense, mm-hmm. Very, very stylish, very strange. It really captures this alien world of, like, the like Scandinavia, I guess, just in general.
Yeah,
and it has this stuff. Very dark, foreboding vibe all through the movie that just gets reinforced constantly, of just this like very desolate alien landscape that they all live in. Mm-hmm. And the main guy is just awesome. He's very barbaric, very he's like a berserker, and he just tears through things. And then eventually kind of becomes he's got this hulking presence.
Yeah, almost like a hunchback situation.
You notice that right away. His neck is like all like Glenn Lowe.
And then when he gets the movie is almost it's a little odd structurally. So the beginning is like the prologue almost. The first act is just him as a child, and then it goes into him having grown up and just kind of become a mercenary almost. And then he cuts off from that to go and try and fulfill his destiny because he's finally gotten a lead on his father's killer, his uncle.
Mm-hmm.
And he almost becomes like a monster in an actual literal sense, because even in the movie they talk about a like a mythological demon that's come to decide that this little farming community isn't worthy, I guess.
Hey, what do you mean farming community? Iceland. Don't you mean the kingdom?
The kingdom, yes.
I got a kick out of that too. That the kingdom was just like this, like run down, like shacks,
seven
place,
huts,
bunch of shacks, you know, peasants,
a little valley, yeah.
where the royalty is like barely doing any better than the peasants.
Yeah. So I guess the thing was, and this doesn't necessarily stand for the witch either, but these movies feel like I almost feel like, especially with how artistic they are and how heavily vision oriented, like I'm looking for something deeper in them on some level, but they really don't have that, and not in a mm-hmm. bad way. It's just mm-hmm. that the style feels like there should be more substance there, but there isn't. And I don't mind that, but I'm curious if there would have been more if it had been Eggers' final cut.
Yeah, it's an interesting point. I think the overall impression I had, like, again, like it was good. I enjoyed it. I think it's a good movie. But like Robert Eggers, if you like listen to interviews and stuff, he is so obsessed with like period research.
Yes.
Like he goes so hard into making sure that all of the details are accurate and like very, very much like part of this vision of this world that he's creating. And all of that comes across. But at the end of the day, the actual story is very conventional Hollywood story.
Yes.
Right? So it's this weird like thing rubbing up against each other where like the story itself is very conventional, but everything about it is totally alien and strange. So you kind of go back and forth between like, this is, I know exactly what's going to happen. This is all like, I've seen this in Gladiator. I've seen this in, I was thinking of Spartacus, which me and Connor watched pretty recently. Mm-hmm. It's like similar like kind of story. And so you know exactly what beats it's going to hit, which is part of like what I was thinking, like maybe this is like, you know, with a budget this big, maybe they wanted a story that was more kind of like, you know, time tested, you know, like it's just a story that people would understand that wouldn't be too out there, but still letting Eggers kind of do whatever he wanted to with the details, with the setting, with the, you know, the characters and everything. So I was wondering, maybe that's the concession that he had
That's actually exactly what he said. I watched an interview with it and he basically said, yeah, you know, I mean, the story is kind of like, you know, I mean, because it's, I think this is like the kind of mythology that Hamlet was based on too. So it's like, oh, this gave me the way to make a movie like this, you know, and, you know, and then I can kind of go into all the weird stuff that I like and basically is what, he said.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that totally checks out. And like, I kind of agree with Mark that like you're watching it and you're like looking for something more. But at the end of the day, like you go into it with your expectations in a more conventional place, I guess. And I mean, think, you're gonna have a good time.
Yeah,
it's a good movie.
Enjoy
it's a good time. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I mean,
what do you think, Kyle?
I mean, I thought it was awesome. Like, I agree entirely with what both of you were saying. But I just thought it was great. Like the acting, fantastic. Just the way it looked, the way it was shot. It was just like great. And like the battle sequences were brutal. Like so great though. Like
there's
one
from the trailer where he catches a spear mid-flight, just grabs it out of the air, and just swings around and throws it at somebody.
And that's fairly early on. So yeah, that's just
they're very slow. Plotting methodical action scenes. He's not going through just like hacking and slashing people. Like he's like thud, 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 chop, thud, thud, thud.
Yeah.
It's very cool. You don't really see that.
Yeah, for sure.
I like how they went into like the, like, I guess how Viking culture was, I guess, like that they were so primal and like that part of, even though they were like civilized, I guess Willem Dafoe, who, you know, also great performance.
Oh, he's great.
You know, like kind of like this weird, I wouldn't call him a shaman or whatever, but he's kind of like some, maybe,
like
I don't know.
Like a jester shaman.
Yeah, it's like a weird hybrid character, but like so great too. And that's why, even though there's not like a ton, like maybe, you know, like you're saying, Mark, like substance wise, there might be not something like some deeper meaning. But all the stuff that gets you through this like conventional story is just so different and so great.
It's so weird.
Yeah, it's so weird. That it's...
Well, I think that's why I was looking for that, because like you've got these like tripping sequences, you've got all this like weird like symbology and things like that, but it's not in. It's, and again, this is not a knock against the movie. It's just that. It was hard not to be feeling like there was something there or that there should be when you've got like these weird vision quest things going on of like Valkyries coming in and things like that.
Yeah.
But again, it's just cool. It's style.
But I guess like a lot of epics like throughout history of books, you know, stories, like I don't think the stories ever were that deep. You know, they were kind of like they all hit the same beats. Like it's the, you know, the upbringing, the thing that the revenge or whatever the quest has to be, the weapon that they're going to have, like all of these, this movie hits all of those things, like how they do it, the climax. And then like the tragic part, you know, all the things that it hits, you know, and it's very much what it is. Like if you go in expecting like a Viking epic, you know, revenge story, this is absolutely what it is, like through and through. And it's just done at the highest level by a filmmaker who's just tremendous. I really do think he's one of the best out there right now. I think The Lighthouse was probably more, I like that more. I mean, I'm not going to say this isn't my style because I think this was great, but The Lighthouse was, was similar in that tone kind of way.
Here's what I'll say. Like, I agree. But the only feeling I had about this movie in regards to it being an epic was that it's fairly smaller scale than I was expecting.
Well, wonder though, how much did get cut out of this though?
Yeah.
I feel like it's built into the structure though, right? The first part of the movie, there's not including the flashback. Like the first part of the movie after he's a child and he is going berserker mode with his berserker buddies. Like that is where the majority of that set piece when they raid that village is the most expensive thing in the movie. And you can tell because there's so many extras, there's so much stuff going on. It's chaos. That's the most expensive thing in the movie. After that, he gets to a farm and he's pretty much there for the rest of the movie.
Yes.
There's things here and there, but it nothing that ever reaches the same scale as that earlier scene. I don't have a problem with that, storytelling wise or whatever, but it does feel like the movie gets smaller once it gets to the real meat of it. And I think that's kind of interesting and unexpected and weird. Especially with regards to when we think of other epic films that tend to get bigger as they go along, yeah. Have a huge battle at the end or
sure,
something.
But I think I think that's a good thing for this.
It's almost Eggers' kind of thing. He really likes those frontier isolated stuff. All of his movies so far have had it.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And I think that's fine. I got nothing against that. It's just a matter of me thinking this is the movie that I'm watching, not something else. Okay, I'm down. Yeah, that's fine. But there's a lot of moments like that. I feel I had to just take a step back and be like, okay, this is what I'm watching, not this, but this. I'm not watching like The Lighthouse is a inscrutable in a lot of ways art film, right? That's not this. This is very, very, very scrutable. Mm-hmm. It makes a lot of sense, the story, right? And so it's I have to get my brain out of certain modes while I'm watching. So, okay, I'm watching this. This is the kind of movie I'm watching, you know? And every time it was unexpected, I guess, and it was a divergence into something more conventional or something less expensive or less epic, you know what I mean? It's not I don't want to attach a value judgment to that. It's just something that I felt while watching that was kind of weird and unexpected, you know?
I think that's fair, but yeah, I don't think it takes away from anything, but I did get I got drawn into a movie that I was wondering if you guys thought similarly, the ending sequence. Did anybody think of Star Wars, Revenge of the Sith?
No.
Yeah. Everybody did, dude. I don't even think that I consciously processed it until later, but I definitely thought there's the one moment where Amleth is the main character. He gets hit in the arm and he falls over, and I was just thinking his uncle's I have the high ground. that thought 100% occurred to me, but I didn't realize it until after I was already home.
I seriously other didn't think of that. I didn't think of it until just now. Wow.
You see it though, don't
it's
you?
It's a cool scene.
Yeah,
it's
there.
It's a very cool
there.
Scene.
Yeah, what can you do? Yeah. What can you do? It is a cool scene.
I mean, what are you going to do? Melee weapon fight next to lava?
Spoilers.
Unavoidable. Yeah. Oh, come on. You said it as you only spent 30 seconds belaboring that. Yeah, okay. Yeah, nobody figured that one
doesn't
out.
Matter. Doesn't matter. It's fine. Like you've seen this story before. You know where it's going.
You can't
know
spoil
how it
this.
Ends.
Yeah.
it's fine because it's not about that. It's about
the vibe.
The journey. Yeah. I like the little romance in there. You know, some people will probably be that's just Hollywood convention.
I liked it.
But yeah. I liked it. I like Anya Taylor-Joy a lot. I think she's really good in this movie.
I want some of that Hollywood kind of convention Conan-ish stuff, you know? Like, we don't even get it really anymore. We just get, I don't know, a Hollywood conventional thing is just like Marvel movie now. Like that's
like World Globetrotter movie or something.
Yeah,
like
when I say like Hollywood convention in this sense, I'm talking about like Hollywood like 50 years ago, like 60 years ago.
Take me back. Not Hollywood now. You could go back like
15
like
years.
Hollywood now is like completely devoid of like anything.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it. Let me have a little love story, you know. So I mean, what else do we got to say?
I don't know. I mean, like, it's so straightforward, despite what it is. I think it's well worth watching.
Oh, totally. Yeah. I mean, I would certainly go to the theater to see it. It's a good theater movie. It, you know, it's got that that soundtrack with the, you know, deep bass percussion, you know. Like that's you want to be in a theater for that too. You got those big subwoofers, you know, just like pounding your heart, like changing your heartbeat. That's what you want.
Yes.
That's definitely a theater movie, I feel like. And it's, you know, I liked it better than Everything Everywhere All at Once. That's just my opinion.
Me too, like, for sure.
This I had a much better time with this than with that movie. But, you know, yeah, so I would go see The Northman. You know, anybody else recommendations going to see The Northman? Connor, should the good people go see The Northman?
Absolutely. I would recommend it to... children, maybe.
Don't do that.
No, don't well, actually, it's funny you mentioned that. It's very funny you mentioned that because I get to the theater, I'm sitting there, and then a family comes in with like a little 8-year-old kid, like sitting in the front row. I'm like, do they know what
it's like
movie this is
for a reason? Yeah.
Like, I feel like this is a big mistake. And then, like, the first things in the movie, like, the crazy trip sequence, I was like, this kid has got to be scarred for life.
This movie is
watching this.
This is kind of like a hard R movie. There's a lot of, like, craziness in this. Like, it's brutal murder, like, weird, like, family situations, and, like,
maybe he didn't get Final Cut because it could have been, like, X-rated after that.
Well, yeah, I don't know, man. Like, I just felt like that kid certainly had a memorable experience.
Had a good time.
He will not forget for a while. But yeah. Actually, somebody brought a dog to the movie too. That was the most incredible thing. Like,
it had to be like a help dog, right?
I don't know. It was a very, very small dog.
Where are you
very
going?
Small dog.
Whatever.
The reason I bring this up is because like I'm watching the movie, and it's like towards the end of the movie, I hear like what sounds like a dog collar shake, like a dog like shaking its collar, and I was like, "What's that?" But then the movie like ends, and I leave, and I just like look to my left, and there's just a dog there.
Oh, it's well behaved.
I'm surprised the dog didn't start howling in solidarity with like Alexander Skarsgård and all the other animals.
Exactly.
That would have added to the movie.
I know, for all we know, it was, and I wouldn't have known the difference in that scene.
He just thought it was the sound system.
All right, go see The Northman. Good movie. Go have a good time. You'll love it.